Emergency contraception covers sort of two areas. One is emergency contraceptive pills, which we call ECPs, and the other covers a form of contraception known as the IUD or the intrauterine device. So my work is mostly concerned with emergency contraceptive pills, ECPs, because they have been, the United Nations has just recently added them to their list of 13 essential reproductive health commodities.
So why are why is access to emergency contraceptive pills so important for women in low and middle income countries?
Well, it's really important because it's a very effective means of having a second chance to prevent pregnancy. And this is particularly important in cases where sex has been forced or a woman suffered, you know, been assaulted or raped, or where contraception has failed, such as a burst condom, or when, you know, women have not been, for whatever reason, able to procure contraception. So it's really important because it provides that window of opportunity to prevent that pregnancy up to 5 days. And there are various products available that can do this. The UN's focus has been on one particular product, levonorgestrel, which has many generic brand names. And is available in Australia as well. But this product is a product that WHO has advocated for countries to put on their essential medicines list. Some countries don't have this product on their essential medicines list. One of those is Guatemala, for example. The Philippines doesn't. And these are countries where abortion also is heavily restricted or illegal. But in many other low middle income countries, great efforts been made towards including these on the essential medicines list as stage one. Stage two would be around mobilizing financial resources to ensure a supply, distribute that supply and maintain that supply. So that's really the country's challenges in terms of the health system's state.
So exactly how many women in these countries are able to access this pill?
Oh, that's a really good question. So we've got various data from various countries, but to sort of give you one example of some work that we're doing in Cambodia at the moment, which was a survey just in Phnom Penh. So you would imagine that being probably an area where women would get a better access and have better knowledge. So despite levonorgestrel, ECP, being on the essential medicines list since 2007, only 60% of our sample of women had knowledge that this was available. And our survey of providers, so facilities, private and public facilities, showed a dearth of availability. It was only really available in pharmacies, private pharmacies, that is.
So this 60% of women, how did they know that this pill was available?
Through the media, they say, and through the work of NGOs, such as Population Services International, that have a very good social marketing program, but that's focused on marketing their own product brand of emergency contraceptive, not the ones that the government procures and distributes. So we've got availability and access issues in the public and in the private sector. So and in the NGO sector, in fact, through PSI. But we've got a situation where in Cambodia, the private access exceeds that in the public, and in a very poor country where you have to pay for things which tend to be more expensive in the private sector than in the public, affordability is a big issue.
And how affordable is it compared to, the daily wage to purchase these contraceptives?
Okay, so we did find that it was of an at an acceptable price. So it's about $1, $1.50, but it can go up to $5. That's American dollars, which is stretching it for a very poor woman in Cambodia, and particularly those who are vulnerable, so young, so adolescents, and women who are, you know, living under $1 a day. Yeah, that's quite prohibitive.
Is access to emergency contraceptions, is it, do women need a prescription or can it be given over the counter?
Different countries have different rules. So in Australia, it's available over the counter. In some countries, it's tightly regulated. I mentioned Cambodia, it's available over the counter, no prescription required. Nigeria, available over the counter, just like Cambodia, mostly in the private sector. Some countries require a prescription, but they are few and far between. So there, I mean, it's exciting in the sense that there are, you know, these spaces to increase access, but the key issues are around demand generation, improving women's knowledge so that they're an awareness of the product, and making sure the price is at an acceptable level or free. There has been some work to do with prophylactic, you know, giving women ECP before they need it. There's a study that's, I think that's from India, showing that if women are provided with ECP to put in their drawer or whatever when they need it, it indicated that that might have some use. But other studies in this area in Western high-income nations have demonstrated that, no, that's really not the case. You need to be able to go and get it when you need it. Otherwise, it's just left in the drawer, like our old mobile phones, never to be used and then chucked out because it's, you know, gone past its expiry date.
So how well do women and the pharmacists who provide these products understand how they work?
Yes, not too well, it appears. And this is not just from our work in Cambodia, but also systematic reviews that we've undertaken. The mode of action, or the mechanism of action, as we know from the science, is really to prevent fertilisation, prevent ovulation, so the release of an egg, and to prevent the egg and sperm coming together. It does not prevent anything beyond that. It's not an abortion drug, and many people believe it to be. So this is part of the issue in countries where abortion is very regulated or illegal. It's seen in that vein, therefore prohibited. One of the other problems we found, that women believe, and providers believe, so providers I mean pharmacists and health workers, so doctors and nurses and midwives, believe that it can cause birth defects and can impact on a woman's fertility, which is not true, very untrue, because, of course, it doesn't do anything beyond preventing fertilisation. So once that egg is implanted, ECP is of no value, has no potency at all.
So what needs to be done to boost the levels of access to emergency contraception in low-middle-income countries?
So we've got some really exciting examples from work that's been undertaken. One of the things that I really love is the work that's been done to in the area of sexual assault. And there's been work, particularly in Zambia and the Copper Belt, where police have been trained to not only counsel rape survivors when they attend the police station, but also to dispense ECP and care for a woman and then take her immediately to the health centre. In fact, that's been so successful. One of the outcomes is not so great, but does show that the health sector didn't do so well in this picture, and that they were coming back to the police stations to ask for more supplies of ECP because they had run out themselves. So procurement and supply in the police stations was very good, and the police were referring on even better than the health sector. But some of the problems were actually transporting women to the health centre and all the paperwork involved. Other approaches to improving access have been to in the area of demand generation. So using mobile phones in Tanzania to advertise ECP and seek to answer women's questions or queries about the commodity itself. But work needs to be done in that area, but that's quite an exciting project. Other examples have been scaling up through the national family planning programs. So that's in the public sector where there's been, so adding ECP really to the existent list of commodities and services provided at primary healthcare level. There's good examples of that in Ethiopia and in India and Bangladesh. But there's little work really in the private sector. We don't really know what's going on in the private sector. We don't know about the training of staff, because often it's retail staff who are giving out this product, which is different from Australia, obviously, because we have a protocol which requires the pharmacist to engage a trained health provider to engage with the woman and then make a recommendation about ECP. But in many low and middle income countries, there are shops or tabletop sellers that can legally or illegally procure ECP and hand it out. So with that, a good thing, improved access, but with amount of information and counselling and referral that may be inappropriate, we don't know.